Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 864. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Shahid Abdul Hadi. What's up, good sir?
I'm back. I hope you guys miss me.
I missed you, but I did a terrible job of trying to get a hold of you. So, and plus, there was definitely one time where I'm like, oh, I wonder, and I'm like, oh, nah, the Sixers are on both Tuesday and Thursday. This is not going to work out.
I mean, depending on what it was, I probably would have been better to be on the show than watch them probably lose. So that's fine. But it's a funny thing. I'm actually on day four of my six-day vacation, but I didn't have any plans. So I'm just chilling in the house doing what the average NXT demographic, which is apparently 37 to 64, does. Watch wrestling on a Tuesday night.
These things do happen for those a little bit older than that on the older end of that demographic.
You know what's funny about NXT? Like, the demographic screams one thing, but HBK books that like he watches BET. And I say that in a good way. And I just say that in a very unexpected way, because I just watched, like, I'm just trying to figure out whose idea to have Noam Dar with those three.
Yeah, that is something that I'm like, why is this working? Like, I am completely confused by the makeup of this, but it works for me for some reason.
Well, it's long-term booking, because Noam Dar likes women of a certain hue.
Oh, okay.
And then it just fits because you've seen Jakari Jackson and Lash Legend as a team, and then you just see the four of them. And if you didn't know anything and you just threw those four names together, you were like, huh? But then you watch it and it just fits. And that's NXT in a nutshell. Like, they just do stuff that just fits, that just works.
That stuff has been just super enjoyable to me. They have really gone over the top with a lot of the characters.
If you're gonna go broad, go super broad. Like,
yeah.
I was watching, you know, WWE.com. They have like those little promos, and he was asking Last Legend about, oh, you know, how you gonna handle Yalissa Leon and Valentine, I think, Faraz.
Yeah.
And she's like, first of all, bleep them hoes, because I'm tired. And she didn't say bleep. She basically said the word you would say to get bleeped, because I'm tired of getting our business, and we gonna get our lick back. And I was like, the fact that they ran that promo and hyped that on WWE.com just had me rolling, because that's something that somebody would say if they're really mad. But I can't remember the last time somebody said that in a wrestling promo.
For as much as AEW is apt to swear more than the WWE, like, I don't feel like I remember, like, a direct just fuck you.
And it just has so much sass, and it just works, because both those factions work in their own goofy way, because, like, why would you think Nathan Frazer and Dragon Lee would be a tag team? But then it's like, you got Dragon Lee with that mask and a suit cracking jokes. Like, Dragon Lee speaks very good English. And you're not used to luchadors that speaking that well. And he's out here, like, you know, being Nathan Frazier's sidekick. And then you can remember, he can wrestle his ass off. And it just works.
I like the Nathan Frazier thing when he was doing it on his own. And then, yeah, they brought in Dragon Lee for that guest correspondent or whatever. I'm like, why is this still working?
It's like I say, I would have never guessed that HBK would just have his finger on the pulse, like, what works. But he does. At this point, I'm just here for it. Like, I was watching last week, and I can't remember the last time Baron Corbin was entertaining. He was entertaining, running down Carmelo Hayes. Like, You know, you talking about my gimmick. My gimmick got me a big ass house. Like I have generational wealth because of Happy Corbin. You out here still in the G Leagues. Like, you better relax. Like, when I'm done talking to you, I'm gonna go home to my hot ass wife and make some ribs. And like, what you gonna do? And it's funny because they see something with Carmelo Hayes, but I've talked to like friends about it. It's kind of like Carmelo Hayes' biggest issue is going to be a size thing.
Oh, yep.
And it's fine when he's in a ring with Finn Balor because they're around the same size. Him in a ring with Baron Corbin is like, yeah, it's some Flash Thompson, Peter Parker before he became Spider-Man energy right there. Like, he, that size difference is immense.
Yeah, like, it's one of those things that I've noticed just because I'm like, hold on. It was like, Jordan Devlin's taller than him? Like, how did that happen? And
he's got a non-hit, that's why.
But then there were a couple other people that popped into NXT because I'm trying to think of who they were. I'm like, oh, I think Wesley did a skit with him. I'm like, hold on, Wesley's taller than him too. And who's Wesley been wrestling?
He's been wrestling Mustafa Ali.
Oh, Tyler Bate.
And Tyler Bate were not big people at all, but they might as well be Scott Hall.
But I think Carmelo Hayes was just a hair shorter than Tyler Bate too. And I'm just like, oh my God, like that to me put it in perspective. Like other guys that I thought that were kind of on the shorter side to start with, and I'm like, how are you smaller than them?
Yeah, like at least they're not using that deterrent because they obviously see something. Carmelo Hayes, they had him on Raw, they had him interact with Seth Rollins, and they're kind of easing him in, which is a perfect way. But I would just say, be careful who you have in the ring with, starting off. Like, let him be established before you have in the ring with Gunter. This would be nice. So, but I like this whole, we're going to take established people, like, the NXT main roster highway is going both ways. Because you see Seth Rollins defending the title there, you've seen Dana Brooke there, you see Carmelo Hayes on Raw, and, like, now you see Rhea Ripley showing up basically getting Carmelo Hayes' face, like, mind your business. Like, they're having storylines that's just going across all the brands. It's like, it works, but it's just weird because it used to be what happened at NXT stayed at NXT, and every now and then people in WWE might step down. Now it's kind of like whatever happens, happens, and it's just going to bounce from show to show.
Yeah, I do wonder if that's one of those things that didn't they hire like a long-term story coordinator, some, you know, like it was some verby title like that. It seems like one of those things where they've definitely developed that more post-WrestleMania, and it kind of made sense. Like if Triple H is still kind of mainly running the show with maybe a Vince edit here and there, you know, it gives them a chance to implement a different kind of plan that I don't think Vince was kind of up for.
No, because Vince's whole thing is what happens to NXT stays in NXT, and we're going to do something brand new when we go to the main roster. And it helps where it's like, if you got Triple H running Raw and SmackDown, or you got HBK running NXT, of course they're going to talk. And of course, they kind of like lean the same, you know, they lean toward like not the same, but similar as far as booking. And it's just easy. Like, we're going to have this storyline, have him show up here, have him do this to here. It doesn't take that much work, but if you put the work in, it pays, it pays long term. Because it's kind of like you watch NXT and you don't know who's going to show up. Like, you have no idea. Like, somebody might just show up. And then that person from NXT might just show up on Raw or SmackDown. It makes everything seem important. And I will say it's no accident. I don't know if you know this as far as like attendance. They have had very good attendance for quite a while now. Like sellouts are near sellouts no matter, you know. And they've been comparing like compared to last year or two. Some places almost been like double or triple. What they've had, like a town that might have had 4,000 when they went in 2021, they had like 9,000 now.
Yeah, I knew that they were doing good numbers. I remember when Josh went here, he's gone the last couple of times that they've taped. And it's been a full house down at Nationwide Arena. Like, they've even opened the upper bowl, which is definitely something that has not happened. It definitely happened for Money in the Bank when that was here, and that might be the last time that I remember that being open.
And a lot of crowds have been, not all of them, but they still have a few dead crowds. A lot of crowds have been hot, like, not attitude errors, not that we'll ever get there, but kind of like, it's been a wild. I'll just say this is kind of like, maybe take it for granted, like, wrestling is in a good place as far as like people going to watch it. And I think we kind of brush it aside for whatever reason, because it's kind of like a cynicism where it's like, is wrestling really, you know, resonate? But I'm like, if you're comparing it to like 99, 2000, or 2005, no. If you compare it to like 2012 to like the pandemic, yes. Like, no. Wrestling, because one, besides the fact you have competition, it's like you have stuff like the WWE. For the most part, stuff makes sense. Like, it's rarely times I'm watching it where I feel like my intelligence is being insulted, or I'll kind of like roll my eyes. And I can remember plenty of times I used to watch wrestling and talk to you about it where it's like, I'm kind of old to be doing this.
Yeah, I kind of chuckle just because we've been doing the podcast for like 15 years or something silly like that. And there have been a couple of really kind of down periods for wrestling. And I feel like we've been through two of them.
Yes, just like, we have.
Just like, oh my God. And you're right. Like, this is like one of those ones where I definitely complain about more stuff on AEW than I do the WWE stuff.
Yeah. I'm going to leave the AEW stuff to him. That's fine. I didn't watch the pay-per-view. I heard the highlights. And the main thing I heard is Kenny Omega, Will Ospreay was a great 25-minute match that became a 40-minute match. And basically they need agents so people don't break their neck or break their arm. And I heard about the whole fake seizure Bryan Danielson did end up leading to an actual broken arm, but that's fine. Y'all like that old Japan nonsense. that shoot stuff. And those who end up on Dark Side of the Ring, I don't want to hear y'all complain and talk about, I wish somebody would have said something.
So. Oh, boy. Yeah. Well, I will definitely get into that in the other podcast, because there is a whole lot to get into on that end. But yeah, still plenty in WWE to get to.
What helps with NXT is kind of like they embrace new things, and they just have like their roster so deep. I see Dana Brooke talking to some new girl. I know they signed her. She's been on like I think with the after that Friday After Dark show that they have. She might have popped up here and there, and she's like a gymnast. And then I see the two new football players. They haven't been yet. We've been playing football since we were 7 and 8. I got kicked out of Washington State, and now it's like it's a brand new tag team. It's like they just have a assembly line of just these Super Saiyan athletes that just want to wrestle. And each week is somebody new, and it's just amazing where we kind of brag, we kind of laugh about it, but the fact that they finally using Gable Stevenson to train Eddie Thorpe to wrestle his brother that they can't mention in Raw Underground is hilarious to me.
Yeah, I think the kids might call that meta, right?
Because it's like the people who watch know, but they kind of dancing around it, and it's like, yeah. I'm going to get you ready for the Kumite.
Yeah, hey, I mean, if you've watched a little JCVD in your life, why not bring it to the WWE, you know?
Yes, and like I say, I don't complain because it works. Like, just the goofy stuff works. The serious stuff works. Like, NXT is fun. And I know, I think it took a while because people were just focused on the whole black and gold era. When it was like NXT 2.0, people could not handle that. It was like they threw a whole bunch of stuff at the wall and they just wanted to see what stuck.
Yeah, and some of it did and some of it didn't, you know? I mean, it's not entirely bad that Lash Legend needed to get repackaged. You know, maybe this second run works out if she starts out in a tag team rather than as a singles wrestler.
Hey, small steps.
Yep. There is not always a straight path to development.
Oh, not at all, as we see with the Street Profits. Cause it's kind of like, how long was Angelo Dawkins at NXT before he became something? And then you see them now. It's like, everybody's not going to be Bron Breakker. So...
Oh,
and
no.
And it's funny because even Bron Breakker wasn't Bron Breakker. It's just hilarious where, of course, a Steiner would be best being a heel, but for whatever reason, it's like, let's turn him babyface. But now him dressed like Dominic Toretto, bullying folks, it's just hilarious. And I told somebody, you know how heel you got to be to show up at a black barbershop, terrorize these people? Get under Carmelo Hayes' skin with that shit-eating grin. And it's like, not only is he a heel, his girlfriend is a bitchy heel. It works. Because Corey J has that same type of energy. I'm like, that's just perfect.
Yeah, she definitely has turned up the bad girl vibes on NXT there.
I mean, it fit, because she definitely looked like a I came from a single parent household and I'm showing out vibe. she leans into that as Kiana James just laid out. Oh, Gigi Dolan. Yeah, they just have all these damn mutants.
Anything to move Gigi Dolan and JC Jane to feuds not with each other, I am for at the current moment.
Yeah, that kind of turn is like, Ciampa, Gargano, like, we get it, y'all hate each other. Let that shit go. So, but, before we move away from NXT, did your boy Tony D'Angelo, did he do it?
He didn't do nothing.
Okay, because I see him now, he getting interviewed, and like, I'm just like, oh, this is an ongoing storyline.
Oh man, yeah, I'm kind of bummed that I'm not watching, but I also know that I wanted to listen to that. That's the ridiculousness that it just fits. Like I'm assuming that he's injured right now and can't wrestle, and this is one way to write him off TV. Like it's brilliant.
It's perfect. It is very. It is just so perfect because like they do have you on camera trying to murder pretty deadly. So, but it's just funny where like normally you don't have him on TV, you have a manager. This way it's like he's in jail, and it serves the same purpose. Just like you had all these women who tore ACLs getting beat up in the NXT parking lot. It's like yes. If you're going to, because everyone knows the reputation of the NXT parking lot, you're going to write some women off, just have them jumped in the parking lot. And there you go. Like, it's taking simple wrestling tropes and just being intelligent about them. I like NXT because it's goofy, but it's self-aware. And it's like, you get good wrestling and they make stuff matter, and it's kind of like I've been noticing that a lot with WWE because like Raw, a perfect example, something that you used to see and then didn't see for a long time. So Alpha Academy didn't have a match this week, but they got TV time talking about what they did last week and what they got coming up next week. It took about a minute, maybe 90 seconds. It worked. Something that simple, because we've been watching them with the Viking Raiders. We've been seeing, you know, the evolution, and they zigged where normally you would zag, because they wouldn't assume when Maxxine Dupri start being around them, Otis would leave and join, you know, Maximum Models.
Yeah.
Instead, because Otis is a ladies' man, she rolls with them, joins Alpha Academy, and they become a babyface team. I have no idea how. I mean, I know Otis is just lovable, but like how her and Chad Gable are just baby faces in this works because she's obnoxious and he's obnoxious, but
they're it helps that they're two different types of obnoxious.
She is like Valley Girl that's actually smarter than she pretends. Like she's a bubblehead that's not really a bubblehead, and he's kind of like a try-hard jerk, but he can rustle his ass off. So, and I think Otis bows out because like you don't want to boo Otis.
Oh, no, that was the hardest thing to keep up, was trying to boo Otis.
Like, they tried to cut off his eyebrows and eyelashes and turn him to a school shooter, but it's like, no, Otis is likable. That's why they do it. And it's just, that team shouldn't work. It works, because it's like, I'm not going to cheer the Viking Raiders. Oh, crazy ass. Like, she walking around with no shoes.
Well, but even with them, I feel like they've done a pretty decent job of developing their characters and giving them those little vignettes, you know, like you're talking about, where it's not long, like it's a minute, 90 seconds, something like that. Like it helps you inform the character, you know, more than you would otherwise.
Definitely. They were sent by Odin to raise havoc against WWE. And they beat up and they put the New Day on the shelf. So, yes, they're a very scary team. It's just, wow, I see her there with no shoes. But it's like little things like that where I've noticed Raw has basically have a hierarchy where basically the top, like the baby faces, Seth Rollins, Cody Rhodes, and Sami Zayn, and Kevin Owens, and Matt Riddle. Versus Imperium and Judgment Day. And then everybody else is kind of like shuffling in a different spot. Like you got the mid cards, you got the women, you got the tag teams. But the people that are important get time, whether it's like 30 seconds or more, a minute or two. Everything seems to matter. And it's funny I haven't complained about the length of Raw in a long time. And that says a lot for a 3-hour show.
Oh. Yeah, it's moved by. Like last night was the first night in a while I've straight watched it for 3 consecutive hours rather than like powering through the commercials at some later time. And it didn't feel like it drug on at all.
No, because they give time to the people that deserve time. They make things matter. They build up storylines. And it's wild because it's like, I can't remember the last time I seen Lashley. I know the New Day is hurt, and it's like they're missing Randy Orton's out, but it's like it doesn't matter because it's like they're deep enough where you would normally miss those people, but they have enough people where it doesn't make a difference. And the best thing that happened to them was having a second title, because it's like you notice how much that was missing once you see Seth Rollins there defending the belt, because it's kind of like it gives everybody on that show something to do that they normally wouldn't be doing. Without taking away anything from Gunther. So that's the thing. And I'm very glad they were able to do that, because that you would think that would happen where it's like, no, they're both big deals. It's just 1A and 1A. And it's still weird for me, like, seeing Trish Stratus just show up on Raw each week. I thought she was going to come back to a match here and there and then leave. It's like, no, she's just showing up in Georgia. To cut a promo, like, you bored at home?
Evidently, she is.
I mean, you've had men come back. But it's like if Goldberg came back and he was just on the road full time. It's weird. Like it's Trish Stratus. Like she was retired. She was the legend. She didn't have anything else to prove. She come back for like a match or two here and there, and you don't think anything. And now she just show up on Raw each week. Like it's no big deal. And it's just that's the world we live in, where I see her and I see Logan Paul in the same show. And
yeah, it's kind of wild time. Yeah,
and I see Becky Lynch. It's like they have a weird thing going on with the women on both shows, because it's kind of like Rhea Ripley has the belt, is she not really fighting anybody that can beat her? She's busy trying to bully Natty into retirement.
Yeah, it definitely looks like they're moving towards Becky and Rhea, especially after this week's interaction.
Yeah, but I got the feeling Io gonna win that briefcase.
Oh.
It just seemed like it's leaning toward that. It's like, it's either gonna be Io or Becky, and it seemed like Becky don't really need it, because, like, Becky's the most over woman on Raw. But she's kind of, like, stuck wasting her time with... She's, like, stuck in the middle because, like, she's stuck with Trish Stratus and Zoe Stark. And then you got Bayley and Io Sky on the other side. Like, Becky's like, I don't got any friends in this match. Like, Zelina ain't my friend. Everybody else want to beat me up.
Yeah, she mostly has enemies in that match.
So, but the crowd, like, she got the crowd. So, I'm curious to see how that match go. I assume Io wins. If Io doesn't win... then probably Becky. Nobody else makes sense.
Yeah, like, that Bayley seems like a good 1-2 to me.
Yeah, like Zelina is not in their weight classes to be fighting those champs. Like, maybe if she try to jump Asuka, she don't get blinded, but no. We've seen her versus Rhea Ripley, and if she's not in Puerto Rico, I'm not betting money on her.
Yeah, like, they would have to do more of a build-up on her for me to think that she had a chance.
So, the men's briefcase, that is a conundrum, because LA Knight got himself over in a way that they probably did not expect, and they kind of like in a rock and a hard place, because they have been, because the worst thing that happened is they started enabling it.
Oh.
He beat Rey Mysterio clean. Rey Mysterio does not lose clean on a whim.
Yeah, that was a result that I found shocking, quite frankly.
I mean, look, they know they had something. Oh, look at Rhea Ripley out here laughing at JC Jane because she got trouble. Boy, that NXT women's locker room, they are so damn catty. They'll just watch somebody get jumped and don't say anything. But no, it's like LA, somebody said a perfect example. Like, LA Knight is basically this, if The Rock and Stone Cold had a son. And it's because he cuts promos like them, like the best of both of them. And it's a throwback, but it works. And nobody else is doing that. And they kept giving him time and time. And he kept getting over and over. And it's not no Zack Ryder thing or some little niche thing. Like, if you having press conferences and they chant his name, he's not even there, you know you got something. And Triple H, though, like, Vince was like, I don't know, you kind of old, which is funny because him and Damian Priest are around the same age, but that's neither here nor there. But Triple H obviously saw something and gave him the ball, and he just ran with it. And that promo he cut on Raw, like, you guys as useless as basketball cleats had me rolling.
Oh yeah, that was a pretty good one that he had there.
And they, like, they're giving him time, so they know they have something. They're letting him win, and I'm like, if he don't win, I don't know. Like, he doesn't have to win, but I would not want to book that match and not have him win, because it's kind of like the only ones that make sense is him and Damian Priest. Unless you, like, we're going to have Logan Paul, there's a wild card.
Oh, yeah. I am ready for the Logan Paul wild card craziness here.
Logan Paul cashing in on Roman Reigns would have me lose my damn mind.
Oh, my gosh. That would be pouring salt on the wound there, I think, if that's the way that ended up rolling.
I think the only thing that would be worse is if Jey Uso beat Roman Reigns at Mania and then Logan Paul cashed in and beat Jey Uso. And you have Logan Paul with the belt and then night two of WrestleMania in Philadelphia. Oh my God, they might sit gritty on him. They're actually Philly fanatic.
Oh my gosh. That could be a pretty gruesome night at Lincoln Financial Field, if that's what it still is.
Main event event time, Baron Corbin. Oh, he does not have the Happy Corbin gear. That man came ready to fight. So, but no, it's like I don't know, because it's like if you would have asked me 2 months ago, I would have said Damian Priest because they see something in him. Now, no. I don't know how you can't have LA Knight not win. Like the crowd behind him, he looks like a champion. He cuts promos like one, and he can wrestle good enough to keep up with anybody that's in there. Like, if not now, when? Like, he's over. He hot. People want it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and, you know, I do think that age should play something of a factor. And, you know, yeah, go with it. Like, he's really on a roll right now. Just to roll into this thing.
And he did it on him. He did it by himself. That was organic because they did a comparison like how it was 5 months ago when he first started doing the crowd. I was like, okay. And then now, like, he just kept doing it. And then they start giving him a chance to do more. And he does more. And it's like, he got the ball. Once he earned the ball from you guys and y'all gave him a chance for more carries and he kept up his yard per carry average. What we doing? Like, you have a star. It's an organic star. It's a star that everybody like. Do it. You don't have no excuse not to do it. Like, I don't know if they will, and I would not want to be on Twitter if they don't.
Well, like you said, I do think that people wouldn't be too upset if Damian Priest won. I would have to think people wouldn't be too shocked if Logan Paul won, quite frankly.
I think it's one of those three, because like, it ain't going to be Butch.
No.
And it's not going to be Ricochet. And Santos Escobar doesn't win enough for me to think it'd be him. So, but we will see. Like, I'm looking forward to Money in the Bank. Like, first, it being with that London crowd, so you know how that goes. Finn Balor versus Seth Rollins. Like, basically, Finn Balor, I've been mad for 7 years. And now I'm going to jump you every... I don't care what show you're on, Seth Rollins. I'm going to jump you on every show I see you because you cracked that joke. I can get behind hate like that.
Yeah, that is some understandable hate to get out of your system for sure.
Yeah, Seth Rollins, he think he got all them jokes. He think he's funny all the time. So, laugh now.
Oh yeah, I mean Finn really got the bad end of that deal.
Yeah, it's like you win, and it's funny where he never really bounced back from that.
Oh, this might be his best bounce back right now.
Yeah, like it took a long time for him to get there. Like, I'm glad he finally got there. So, but it's kind of like they're gonna have an awesome match, and they got hit, and it's like it's a match where two people can go. With history behind it, because yeah, Seth Rollins is champ just works because that stupid ass song and them stupid ass suits just worked, and it's also reinforced by the fact that he's probably the best overall wrestler they have as far as like consistent match quality. He does not have bad matches. It doesn't matter who he wrestles.
Nope, just talk to Dominic Mysterio, and we can go from there.
How did Dominic Mysterio get so hated? I know why, but it's like it's just ridiculous at this point.
It is pretty unbelievable what has transpired with one Dominic Mysterio. He has certainly benefited the most from being associated with Rhea Ripley.
And it's kind of like he's a nepo baby that gets to hang around Rhea Ripley that talks trash about how hard he is. Like, it's just a perfect storm. And he got that ridiculous haircut and facial hair and all that resentment from him getting pushed when he was a baby face. And then all that nonsense of him putting the like, you beef with Rey Mysterio and his family. Yes, you're going to be hated anyway. Then you put him with Rhea Ripley. It's like, it's just a perfect storm of like, people hate his guts to the point they only want to hear him talk.
Yeah, I mean it. The booing again this Monday was quite intense. Maybe the most intense for him. People really are into booing him these days.
Yeah, and it's just it's perfect because it works, and they're supposed to boo him. And preparing him against Cody Rhodes is awesome because Cody is like. He's a big enough deal to wrestle Cody Rhodes, and people will enjoy Cody Rhodes just beating the crap out of this man. Because, like, I know people felt a certain way about Cody not winning. I hope we have realized by this point Cody didn't lose anything from losing. It was like Cody Rhodes is just fine, basically being the number 1A babyface in WWE.
Yeah, it certainly hasn't hurt him. I think the stories that they've told afterwards would have benefited from the victory still, but
I mean,
you know,
if he has the belt, he's not losing to Brock Lesnar.
No, but I think that whole thing plays out a little bit differently.
Yeah, and also I'm kind of glad because I know Cody Rhodes is a tough man, but him shooting the Fairmore with Brock Lesnar with one arm, like he better not have won that second match because then I was already getting irked at that storyline to begin with because I'm like, I know what they're doing. He won by a fluke. But I'm like, come on now. Like, I know it's wrestling. This is not the Avengers. Like, cut that nonsense out with Cody Rhodes. So I say him not having the belt right now gives him more freedom to do things he normally wouldn't do. And I think eventually he gets the belt. I assume he takes Seth Rollins' belt. I don't know if Seth Rollins even had that, but when he take it from, I guess we'll see. But
yeah,
I get the whole film behind it. But as we saw with the Bloodline, it's kind of like, yes, they knew what they were doing with that because we've talked about it. We used to say how that was the best storyline in a long. No, that's the best storyline in American wrestling. I don't care what company, like period.
No,
ever. Like. 3 years they've been doing this. And it's still going. It's not over. We talked about long-term storyline, but we were kids. They were not doing three-year storylines in the 80s on Superstars and Wrestling Challenge.
No, they were not.
They would do 6 months to like a year. And that was considered long because Attitude Era, a storyline would be 2 weeks or a month. We kind of got spoiled, but it's like it's... They've done this perfectly, and just seeing how things turn out, and I don't know if they're going to have, like, you know where it's leading to with Jey Uso versus Roman Reigns, but I don't know if they're going to do a SummerSlam, or if they're going to say, you know what, we're going to run this all the way to Mania.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the man you mentioned before that. I still think it wouldn't be completely surprising to me if they maybe pulled the trigger on Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns, part two next year at Mania. Like, it does kind of depend upon what they want to do with Jey Uso here. Like, that's the interesting thing, I think, at this point.
Jey gotta be the one that beats him. That's the only way the storyline is and makes sense. Because, like, it started with them, and it has to end with them. Because otherwise, because if it's not, you could have pulled it with Cody Rhodes at this first Mania. So, I figured, like, because this whole thing started with the two of them. And just him just being an abusive, basic parent and gaslighting this man all this time. Like, Jey Uso used to be a happy man till Roman Reigns whooped his damn brain. And just watching, like, yeah, Roman Reigns, he's going to be in Hollywood sooner than later. Like, just his facial expressions, how he carries himself is like the ultimate soap opera villain. Like, he's basically making them feel like it's their fault he's being the way he's being. Like, he's doing them a favor. And it's just classic narcissism. Like, I've been watching You on Netflix, and it's just funny. Like, I just started watching that, and I was like, I can see why people watch this show because this dude is despicable. But I can't stop watching. Like, he has enough self awareness to understand. Like, oh, maybe I'm wrong. Nah, it's other people who are wrong. And it's just enough to just drag you in. And I see the same thing with Roman Reigns. Like, it's not, I'm doing what I need to do. It ain't my fault that y'all appreciate me. And the fact that the main event will probably be, you know, that family fighting against each other. You know, people used to wonder, like, when The Rock was going to show up. Oh, I don't need The Rock for this.
It would just be awkward if The Rock came into this now.
It's kind of late. Like, where were you before, Dwayne? Before the family broke up. So,
but yeah.
I just want to see how it ends. And I'm just here. Just, it's just amazing because I tell people Roman Reigns being what he has become makes everything surrounding him more important. Cody Rhodes is better off fighting Roman Reigns at Mania. Look at Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. They basically like one of the top acts in WWE. That would not happen if they did not interact with the Bloodline at all. And like people that interact with them long term are better off for it. Because that's the weight that Roman Reigns carries. Like he interacts with you, Hulk Hogan thing. Like Paul Orndorff made a whole lot of money beefing with Hulk Hogan because it was Hulk Hogan. That's Roman Reigns now. They talk about how he like his segment when they broke up, like the highest rated one, like 2 years on SmackDown. So yes, that's not by accident. People, Roman Reigns has become a draw. Like not the big dog, but the tribal chief. People turn the channel to watch Roman Reigns.
Yeah, I mean he's him and them as a whole have done a great job of presenting it and having, you know, the story unfold over quite like you said, like we're rolling into year three of this. Like that's pretty wild. Not something that I was expecting.
One day, we've talked about before, one day we're going to look back at that pandemic era, like, did that really happen? Because it's still just wild. Like, we were watching wrestling when they were wrestling in silence.
It was like,
before they had the Thunderdome, that was just wrestling. Like, it was just nobody there. And I'm like, should we be watching this? Is this real? Right, like it's like I know they're bringing entertainment because everything else was closed down, but hearing Stone Cold cut a promo and nobody's there to listen, like it felt like a fever dream.
Yeah, I mean between that and actual sports, it was a wild time period just because, crowds are kind of integral to the whole thing.
Yeah, out here, touchdown by such and such, and all the people you hear, you just hear the teammates cheering, nobody else. I'm like, so this how it would have been after the people in Terminator defeated Skynet? That's how a football game would look like. It's just wild. Like, you playing in a 60,000 seat stadium, and nobody's there. And then they start using the fake crowd noise, and I'm like, it feels like I'm watching Madden. Like, that's better than nothing, but this. And then it's like, okay, we open up, we're going to let 300 fans in. I was like, we were stressing for entertainment because the nonsense we were just doing. Like, you're going to tell somebody what? You remember that time the Thunderdome when they had fans on their couch with a Skype camera on there and you see it on the TV and everybody wrestling front of a bunch of TVs. Like, yes, that happened.
Yeah, it already, even though it just happened, still feels wild that happened, and that honestly, that anything from that era is still going on.
Yeah, like the fact where Roman Reigns became Roman Reigns based on like him talking trash during a match, and we could hear him, like. Him, Randy Orton, Asuka, Kairi Sane, Bayley, Sasha, and like Drew, and Edge was carrying WWE. Like, and it's just wild where it's like Randy's out, Drew's out, Kairi's in Japan. Like, that happened And it's like nobody remembers. You know, it just happened. Like they were carrying, like the same thing in AEW, like a Carl Sheeta was just carrying the women's division on her back. And it's like, thanks. Now I'm just going to give it to Britt Baker, but we'll let Jeremy talk about that. But no, and it's like the wild things is like, we talked about before. I'm glad they bring it back Raw Underground because I know it had its detractors. I love Raw Underground. I love everything about it because it's just so damn absurd. It's like we basically have an underground fight club with Shane and Omos as the bouncer. And we get to see Dolph Ziggler in a tank top showing off his, yeah, you know what I used to do in Kent State? I'm going to show you and I'm going to choke you out with some tight-ass jeans. Like this is never back down. They're like, and you got the women dancing. And I'm like, I don't know who thought that up. And it was fun. It didn't make any sense whatsoever, but that shit was fun.
I popped big time when Damon Kemp came back and he's like, yeah, I want to do a Raw Underground match. I'm like, that's fucking sweet. Like, are you kidding? Like, it is a concept that it died a little sooner than I would have liked it to, quite frankly.
Yeah, like, people forget. It's a reason why the Hurt business became the Hurt business based off Raw Underground. And Braun Strowman became a big damn deal. Because of like it made people that you have anything to do, gave them something to do, and it showed like, oh, we're going to show who can really fight. And it's like, the scariest thing you would see is like Bobby Lashley taking off his sports jacket and getting in that damn underground ring and just beating somebody half to death like it's Streets of Rage. Y'all can complain what y'all want. Like, that is entertainment.
Oh.
Like, him and like MVP sicking Lashley on folks. Entertainment. So, yeah, the fact that they're bringing it back and it's like half of Twitter is like, what are you doing? The other half is like, hell yeah. that's wrestling Twitter in general. So, that's fine. I'm glad that they embraced their roots. I don't know who idea that was or who swung that by, but I'm glad they're doing it. I would love to see it happen again. So, but one more thing. So the SmackDown women.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Well, how do you feel about the top of the card?
It's a really weird situation right now. Like,
yeah, I feel the same way.
of Charlotte Flair's returns are at best problematic.
Boy, you're speaking my language. it's just weird because the top three women are heel to heelish. Because Asuka's out there dancing around, cracking jokes, throwing shoes at people, and spitting blue shit in everybody's face. Charlotte's like, I don't care about no. I'm jumped in front of the line because I got white privilege. You know what this is? This ain't the first time of this. If I show up, I get a title match because I'm Charlotte Flair. And Bianca Belair's like, no, what are y'all talking about? Like, I never got my rematch. Y'all here making me look like a fool. Fuck that. And it's like, she going to become a heel and it's going to be justified. And it's just weird where it's like, who am I supposed to be cheering for? Like, I could cheer for all three of them. I could cheer for none of them. Because, like, they're all entertaining, and they're all act like assholes.
It's kind of a weird spot because, well, I guess speaking of pandemic MVPs, Asuka was a pandemic MVP. And I feel like I'm still just going, oh, come on, man. Let her have a good run with a crowd. Like,
man, like she deserved it. And she's having an awesome time. This her coming out dressing like a cool ass banker with flats and a pink sports jacket, blowing blue mist in people's face. Like, you got a heel that's just terrorizing people and then dancing and laughing. Like, she really is the Joker. And it's like, I can't boo her because so entertaining, but she not being like cuddly. Like, yes, I'm a because we forgot how to be Bianca Belair. I'm going to lick my hand and then rub her eyes so she can't see and then kick her in the face. Like, she evil.
Yeah, yes, she is.
Like, she is an evil-ass clown that's just giggling and like, I'm having fun because I can dress and I can beat you up. And the fact that the champion, the woman champion, is a Japanese woman in her mid-40s will never cease to amaze me, because it ain't no way in the world you would have guessed that like five, six years ago.
Well, now it kind of got me thinking. I'm like, hold on. Like, I'm trying to think of whether her, just the difference in, to me, in ring work between her and Trish is,
I mean, that's almost comparing like Bob Cousy and Magic Johnson.
Yeah, this is also true.
Like, Trish was the best of her era, but that era was basically kind of like before people could dunk. it's not her fault, but it's glaring because it's like Trish out here doing the best she can. But I'm like, man, you was out here in the Super Nintendo era. We on the PS5. Like, we have evolved way past that. And it's different when you can be a man where it's like Edge, I can just lean down and I can wrestle good enough where it doesn't matter. Like, Edge, the fact that Edge can hang with folks at his old age ass is still amazing. But like, Trish, her thing was never like athleticism. Like, Trish was body beautiful and she was fitness, but her whole thing, like, she wasn't like a gymnast or a sprinter and stuff. And no. You see the people they have now, like Bianca Belair, like, oh, I used to be all American in the discus. I used to, you know, I'm an Olympic, you know, pole vaulter. What Trish gonna do with that? And it's like, all the Japanese women, like, yes, we were trained to be ninjas from the time we were 14 years old. And now we wrestle. So Trish.
Yeah, there's Trish 47, Asuka 41. So
yeah.
for those with the inquiring minds, I guess Asuka is a bit younger.
Yes, and Asuka's also, like, you would not think she's 41 while looking at her. At all, you would think her and Kyrie are like, you would think her and Io Sky are sisters, and it's like, it's almost a what, 8-9 year age gap between the two.
Yeah, it's something like that.
So, but I'm curious to see that match. Like, I want Asuka to have a long reign. I'm tired. Like, I'm not even mad at Charlotte, but it's like every time I see Charlotte, I'm like, enough.
And I was kind of driving at the point, like, I just want Asuka to have a good reign. So it's just kind of like, you decided to give it to, you know, you decided to have her beat Bianca after her, because what, she has the longest streak now, right?
What, Bianca?
Bianca, yeah, for, you know, like, women of the modern era for a title reign.
That is true. And it was just amazing because you were wondering, like, after she won at Mania and beat Asuka, and then she beat Io, you was like, "Are she just not gonna? She just gonna keep it till next year Mania?" And then the fact that she lost it to Asuka the next month was like, I think people were ready for it. It just came out of nowhere because it's a funny thing how they treated Bianca Belair. Like, they got mad at her based, like, they used to like her until she got booked like John Cena, and then was like, "Oh." Oh, she won again? I'm like, yeah, she won again. She's the best. That's what people normally do. The best normally win.
She got turned on for turning into, for lack of a better thing to come off the top of my brain, the New England Patriots.
Yeah, like, oh, I know she good, but still, like, you think she's gonna lose to Alexa Bliss? Like, what are we talking about? Like, come on now. And it was, she got punished for being successful, and I think it's part of us kind of like, and also it's kind of like the whole thing is they never had a black woman be that damn dominant, because Sasha would have the belt for like a month if she was lucky.
Yeah,
like, Naomi, the same thing. She might have it for 2 or 3 months. They weren't used to somebody just having the belt and just bulldoze everybody. It's like she's the best woman wrestler they have ever had. And as far as kind of like athletic wise and skill wise, yes, she is. She's the Scott Steiner of American women wrestling. She's the best athlete, and she can wrestle. Like, there's nothing. She can do basically anything she wants in the ring. Like, people her size normally cannot do what she can do. She can do it. And also, she can talk the talk. She looks gorgeous. And it's like, why wouldn't they? Of course, they don't push her. Like, she's, if you want to design a wrestler, it's her and Tiffany Stratton. And it's like, you have them. And Rhea Ripley. And it's kind of like, it goes to WWE where they just, like, I see somebody like Julius Creed, and I'm like, do people not realize how athletic this man is? He just suplexing people doing kip-ups for like 30, 45 seconds. If Ultimate Warrior did that, he would have passed away way before his post-Raw Hall of Fame speech.
Oh.
R.I.P. to the man that's resting in the grave, but it's kind of like, people do not realize the athletes that they have coming up or the athletes they have now. It's like, I thought about that, you brought up Trish Stratus, and it's not Trish Stratus' fault, but like, she came at a time where women athletes weren't going into wrestling because they kind of figured, like, I'm not going to be able to do anything, or it is a shelf life. It was basically like, either you look good or you were in fitness. And it started with like Chyna and then Beth Phoenix. And like those two, kind of like Rhea Ripley basically said, like, it's because of Beth Phoenix that I got into wrestling. And Beth Phoenix says, it's because of Chyna I got into wrestling. So now, and then I know people made fun of them at the past. They were like, you know what? It's easier to get athletes to turn into wrestlers than get these non-athlete wrestlers and try to make them the athletes. And it has, like, they still get indie wrestlers, but it's kind of like, I get somebody that was kind of like, all Big Ten and running back, but you're not gonna make it to pros. He want to wrestle, make money. Yeah, used to be a swimmer, used to throw the discus. You athlete, like they find a set of they'll find a set of identical twins. They're like, oh, they're Olympic archers. You want to wrestle?
Yeah, I do believe. Aren't they volleyball players?
Yes, they have. I say archery because it sounds funny. Like they found twin volleyball players. It's like, get you down there and teach you how to wrestle. People make fun of, like, you see somebody Saul Ruka and it's like, yeah, that works. You see somebody that moves like a Power Ranger, you teach you how to wrestle. She is not going to be clumsy like some of those folks used to have. Like,
yeah, they have some real mutants down there in NXT. It is pretty wild what that NIL deal has done for the WWE.
Their current women's champion is a main example of that because she has not been wrestling that long, and the fact that she's that good, that fast, and looks the way she looks is just unfair. Like, you look at the top, like, you see her and like Roxanne Perez and Kiana James and stuff, and it's like they had these women like in their early mid 20s. That's doing that now. Can you imagine them if they're like, they're like 26, 27, 28 in the damn prom? It's like, it's unfair. Like, I'm sorry. I feel bad for, like, you know, the Dana Brooks and stuff because they didn't get, they had that chance, but it's kind of like, you have a certain shelf life. We have moved forward. It's kind of the same way where I'm sure the first time somebody saw Randy Moss, it was like, he's 6'4", he fat, like, he can run that fast. I'm like, what am I supposed to do with that?
Yeah, I remember thinking that because what did he? I think his the 1 year that I was at school, he was with Marshall, and Marshall was in the MAC, and I'm like, the fuck? What the fuck's Kent State gonna do with this? Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I just feel like, I just imagine you in high school and you like some small school in the 12th grade, and like, oh, we're playing who? LeBron James. Like, what are you supposed to do with that? Like, it's because it's like you're used to athletes, but you see certain athletes. Like, if I'm Akira Tozawa and I'm seeing Julius Creed, what's what to do? I mean, I'm going to have my match and get paid and lose, but it's like, it's, Like, they just have these mutants that can wrestle. And yeah. That's their whole thing. It's like, we're going to give them time. We're going to still get the indie people. Like, people talking about how the whole, oh, that, like, it's not that many indie people that's left right now that's not, like, signed that could, I mean, it's, I'm sure they're out there, but, like, between them and AEW, they sucked up. People forget that whole, for 5 years, we're going to sign everybody that was in the ROH and Impact Wrestling. Like, that, the Adam Cole generation. Like, that's done. Who are these people that's, like, waiting that's not signed yet?
Yeah, well, and even with AEW, they're kind of using ROH still as a feeder system at this point. Like, if you're not going to have a TV deal for them at all, and they're just going to be on pay-per-views and online.
I don't know how that's going to work, but I mean, I guess if it's an online thing, it's enough nerds, they'll spend the money to watch it, but it's kind of like, it seemed like a vanity thing, but I mean, a lot of wrestling's vanity, so.
Paying for the final countdown is definitely on the list of vanity, but again.
Yeah, I saw everybody, I'm like, y'all know that song is corny, right? I'm almost spent as much money. I decided to wrestle. I'm like, why? Like, I know why, and I know we like nostalgia. I'm like, that song's like that damn good.
Yeah, it was definitely not one of. I mean, I listened to some hair metal back in the day. That still really was not like one of the go-to songs for me, though.
Yeah, it's just. They talk about, I'm glad AEW brings back, like, licensing music, and they're doing the right way, unlike Paul Heyman, that was basically like, we're going to do what we want to do in the ECW era. But it's like, most of the song, they're getting a cornball nonsense. Like, what, Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks come out to, or Orange Cassidy comes out to, I'm like, y'all could have saved y'all money.
Yeah, the Kansas song with the Young Bucks is just like, yeah, I still don't get it. Evidently, maybe it has something to do with their father enjoying the song, and it's just like, okay, I guess, like, it doesn't fit your character still, so what's...
Moxie come out the Wild Thing, it's like...
Oh, yeah, that did not fit his character either. It's just like, why are you paying for this?
Because Tony Khan's just a kid with money. I'm like, his dad busy buying soccer teams. But I'm just thinking kind of like, so basically this will be, I say all the time, AEW is basically how WWE would be if Shane McMahon was running and Vince was busy like doing bodybuilding and just writing a check. Because I'm glad he's a fan. I'm glad he spends his money. But sometimes he spends his money away where it's like his daddy, like, you need to cut this shit out. Like, all right, like, stop lighting my money on fire. Like, I'm glad they could, their competition. And it's not my money, but I just sit there. I'm like, I guess. All right. But I wasn't going to. The only thing I was going to say about AEW is kind of like what we talked about before. They're different. And I was talking to some of my friends. It's kind of like they have some people that I don't feel like they know what to do with. And it's like basically like Jay Cargill and Ricky Starks and people that ilk. And I'm like,
oh.
Y'all better figure it out because I know somebody who knows. Like, I know somebody who knows how to use those type of people. I just watched them on the USA Network for 2 hours.
Yeah, that those two definitely stand out for like people that have just to me seemingly not gotten a good deal out of things. Like Chris Statlander, I think, is now like one title defense short on Dynamite of what Jade Cargill did. It's just like, well, either she's, you know, moved up and you think she's good enough to challenge for the the big championship or not here, guys. Yeah, like, this is not hard.
What's the point of her losing if she wasn't going to, like, move on up? It's like, just had her lose for nothing? And I'm like, they know they had something, but I don't think they really understand what they have. And it's like... People like Jay Cargill and Ricky Starks don't grow on trees. And I know you like doing your little vanity thing and pushing certain people. And, you know, I'm like, yeah, I don't need to see Daddy Magic or people that ilk. Like, thanks for no thanks. And it's like, you know, I'm glad Jungle Boy became a heel, but like the fact that he had to become a heel in the first place, it shows like y'all made some bad terms. How's that man not just a proper baby face is beyond me, but they just, that whole four pillars nonsense was just nonsense. Like, they just out of nowhere. Oh, these the foundation of AEW. Since when? Like, who set that? Like, okay. I think of AEW, I did not think about, oh, you know, Sammy Guevara, he was a pillar. He started from Jump Street. Why? Because he's young? Like,
yep, that was pretty much the reasoning that they gave. It was paper thin logic.
Like, you know, we friends. I'm like,
might be insulting to paper.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, you know, we friends and everything like that. I'm like, no, I did not know that. When were y'all friends? Cause y'all in the locker room, y'all went to Sparrows together. Like, what are you talking about? It's just kind of like they just pull stuff out of nowhere to make some story that didn't make any sense. And it's like, it's at the expense of other people. And I'm like, I'm glad they, I'm going to talk about AEW one thing before we go. Because I didn't talk to you, and it's been bothering me for a long time. This whole CM Punk collision nonsense. Yeah.
It is some nonsense.
You try to tell me you had to make a brand new show because people couldn't get along, and you basically had all your renegades, like, just the blacklist. Like, oh, you remember Miro who said he wanted to quit? You remember Andrade who got in a fight? You remember Thunder Rosa who gets talked about on that damn on that damn after the bell show where it's like they called a coward? You want to watch him on Saturdays with that jerk CM Punk? Come on down. Like, really? Like, I'm not pro or anti-Punk. I think all of that is stupid. And I know people talking about, oh, they should work it out because it's money. But I'm like, if you could say that, then we wouldn't be doing this in the first place. Oh. It's obvious that they can because they're childish. And I'm not here to tell people to grow up because it's not my life. It ain't my money. But the fact that this happened in the first place is batshit insane. Can you imagine if, oh, Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels couldn't get along? You imagine if Vince just made Shotgun Saturday Night and just put all the Canadians on that show? No, he's like, y'all gonna work this shit out.
And I don't think that Triple H and or Shawn Michaels would do much different than what Vince would do in that situation. Like, he'd be like, no, you guys can work this shit out. Like, I don't care what happened.
I mean, like, Edge and Matt Hardy had, like, they had personal shit. And they worked that, and it's like, I mean, I'm not here to tell people what to do or not do, but the fact that you had to make a brand new show, and it's like, and then you have CM Punk coming out there just lying, and everybody going along with it, and it's, I'm just watching. I'm
you didn't stop him. You should have stopped him. He needed someone to stop him if he was telling lies. Why did you not do that, Sheed?
Oh, my God. It's like, I tell people, I shouldn't complain about lying because it's pro wrestling, and pro wrestling's built on people lying to us, but I tell people all the time, we don't mind lies as long as it comes from people we like. And I get on people. I brought that up with Dark Side of Rain. Everybody loves that show because, like, oh, they tell the truth. None of that WWE propaganda. I'm like, oh, so you don't trust Pat Patterson, but you trust Jim Ross and Jim Cornette because Jim Cornette wouldn't lie? What? Word? You sure? It's like, no, you just decided on who you want to listen to based on who's paying for. I'm like, everybody lie. Like, oh, no, I go listen to Triple H because he's going to make stuff up. Not like my Mr. Wholesome Chris Jericho. He would never lie to me. Mr. I invented the drop kick, and nobody sang a song until my song came out, but he would never lie. Like, so I know he lied in wrestling, but I just love how CM Punk's whole thing is, you can trust me, I tell the truth, and then just proceeds to just lie up and down his arm, but people cool with it because they like him. It's like, all we heard is him. Everybody else is like, oh, I can't talk about the lawyer said the wait. But he gets to talk at ESPN, and he gets to talk on here. It's like, yeah, Punk, you tell the truth. Truth teller. And I'm sitting here like, whatever. And it's funny where once he left Chicago, that crowd is kind of like,
Yeah, that crowd was much different in Toronto than it was in Chicago. Or
It's
what?
just rotten, like.
Were they in Hamilton for Collision this week?
Yes, it's like they
Okay.
did not like him in Canada at all. And it's like, yeah, because it's like they like Kenny Omega. You can be a Bret Hart fan all you want. That is not going to fly. They do not. And it's this thing they're going to have to accept. It's kind of be like, it's a lot of people here like CM Punk. And it's a lot of people who do. They're just tired of all this. They're just tired of it. And this comes off as
Oh.
like petty not. It comes off as petty nonsense. And it's like, the fact that it just happened, I'm just like, how? Like, I know why, because Tony Khan is just like, I'm gonna make whatever work. We can't work it out. Just be friends. But I'm like, I'm not a Vince McMahon fan as a human being, as a promoter, but I'll just say Vince McMahon would never have done that.
And
If
no,
he is.
and I mean, there's no reason to, like, I mean, they. I actually think that AEW has enough people on the roster to have two shows. Whether it's two coherent shows is a whole different thing. But, their roster was about as bloated as the WWE's at some point. Because, like, I don't know how many people they were having on that Dark Elevation on YouTube, but it was a lot of people. And like you said, like all the mutants came to Collision, and it's still just like, yeah, we still have a pretty solid roster here from all the people that we banished from Dynamite. It's just like,
Also, like, oh, we welcome back Andrade D'Idolo. I'm like, why are you welcoming him back for? Why did he leave the front? Oh, well, he back after his first match in 6 months. Why? Oh, we can't talk about why Miro back talking about he renouncing God like Conan. Don't worry about it. I'm leaving God. I'm leaving my wife. That's the role because God forsaken me. So I'm turning my back on God. I'm fighting for me. That seemed a bit blasphemous just because you didn't get your release. But hey, it's wrestling. Whatever worked. But yes, I will say I did get a kick out. I love his character in AEW. I got a kick out that damn promo. Basically, to hell with you, God, I ain't get my push.
That was it was pretty hilarious. I had a good chuckle.
And I'm just imagining what Thunder Rosa gonna say when she comes and talks, because I'm sure if somebody got beef, she's had beef because they've been running her name in the damn dirt and just letting that happen. Nobody has come to her defense, and now you put her on a show to say, okay, now you get to say your piece.
Yeah, and honestly, like, what? Well, maybe it's just because they had the pay-per-view that with Forbidden Door that they haven't had that happen yet. Like, it almost seems overdue to have happened on Collision already.
Yeah, that women's division in general is just a mess. Like, it's, and I can't even blame Britt Baker anymore. Like, I used to be able to do that. It's just, they just have no sense of direction. Like, everybody's like on the same level, more or less. And it's like, is Jamie Hayter hurt?
Yes.
Okay. So it's like, she's hurt.
And they have just really it has definitely not helped them that, I mean, I know injuries happen, but they have just every time either someone's getting ready to be pushed or is in the middle of something of a push, they get injured.
Yeah, like Chris Statler just came back from injury.
Yeah.
Jamie Hayter got hurt. Rumi got hurt because Tainara is like, I don't know what safety is. I can wrestle. That Saraya, Toni Storm, Ruby Soho thing is like, I'm glad Saraya can walk. She should have never came back. You talk about Trish Stratus is like, yeah, Saraya used to be hot shit back in the day, but we got Blu-rays now. He was good in the DVD era.
Well, yeah, for her, to me, it definitely seems like the injury is affecting her more than she wants to admit.
she should not be wrestling. Like, because you got to think about it this way. WWE is going to err on the side of caution, and they even let Edge and Bryan Danielson come back. But they didn't let her come back.
Oh,
it's probably a reason for that. And it's like, oh, I found a doctor who said, I'm like, oh, so you found the one doctor that said you okay? Yeah, you. Yeah, I know all about Dr. Hunt. Like, find somebody to tell you what you want to hear. I'm not taking any chances. Like, especially AEW, where they don't necessarily wrestle. They got a lot of women that's kind of clumsy. Like, I ain't doing that. Like, no. And she wanted to prove a point that she still got it. And she don't still got it.
Oh, no.
And that whole thing, we're the outsiders. It's like, talk. Whatever. You are not hauling, like, Tony Storm and Ruby Soho are not hauling Nash. Like, it's just, I just watch the women, it's just kind of like, they just there. And they'll have somebody get a push every now and then, and then they'll wrestle, and it's like, everybody on the same level, and nobody's, like, Jay Cargill and Britt Baker, for better or worse, were the two that stood out. And now Britt Baker's down with everybody else, and Jay Cargill went back to Undertaker land because she don't have a belt. So she don't got nothing to do. Because she don't get to wrestle everybody else. She get to wrestle her own dimension. And now she don't have a belt. She don't have, like, she's just like, oh, I don't know what she
had. Yeah, she got pushed from one dimension to another, and they have yet to find that dimension.
It's like, that's the biggest thing with AEW. It's kind of like, they just do stuff, and it doesn't matter the way it should matter. Like, they have some important stuff that matter, but they got too much stuff. It's like, you just wasting time. Like, you got too many belts, and that TNT belt, you know, y'all can crack jokes about Cody Rhodes turning to a vanity belt. At least he cared about that belt. Y'all been treating that belt like it's syphilis since he left.
Oof. Yeah, that belt has been treated poorly. The only championship treated well, really, is they call it the International Championship now.
About the belt that Orange Cassidy has.
Yeah.
Yes, that says a lot. That belt, the Mid-Atlantic Intercontinental title, whatever it's called. Because not your tag titles, not your six-man tag titles, not the triple B belt. Like, it's just, yeah, like, my friends get on me, like, why don't you watch AEW? Like, I do. I actually watch AEW now, but I just watch it, and too many times it's had me rolling my eyes. It's like, oh, what you gonna do? You gonna talk about somebody's personal life? You gonna shoot?
Yeah.
Like, because I ain't hear that. Like, I thought we got this system with MJF was talking about, oh, I framed my dead girlfriend, freaking a blow job, and he had a car crash. And that's why I'm the devil. Like, what that got to do with winning a match? That just means you should be in jail. Like, I thought we got that out of our system. I think I'd complain to you about that, because we did do a show when that was happening.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. And it's like, it's too many times. It's like, oh, you a loser in real life, and that's why you're not going to win the title. Like, you can use real life stuff to enhance. I'm not against using real life things to enhance matches. Because I saw a perfect example when it was Seth Rollins and Matt Riddle. And Seth Rollins was like, that's why your family left you. Because it just came out of nowhere. It felt real personal, but it worked. And they settled in a wrestling ring. Two massages at AEW, it just feels like, it's just, like, ugh. But I want to end on a good note. And I want to end on a good note with AEW. Because I saw something that I thought I wouldn't see for a long time, and this reminds me and other people how progressive wrestling fans actually are. So, I saw an Australian woman hit on Anthony Bowens. And Anthony Bowens looking like, what you doing, lady? like, you know I'm gay, right? And everybody cheering and chanting like he's gay, and Billy Gunn hugging him. And the fact that it's Billy Gunn, of all people, embracing him, considering the history of how we treated, you know, gay portrayal wrestlers, and that Billy and Chuck thing and how that crowd acted back then compared to how the crowd acting now, it's like, wow. Cause I was like, suddenly, like, I shouldn't have been surprised. That's kind of like, yeah, us. It's like, we have a day out wrestling. It's like, it's not a big deal. He just is. Everybody know, and he get chaired, and he don't got to hide it. And it's like, we have come a long way.
Yeah, that was a pretty wild segment. He's gay chant and not being a derogatory variety. Yeah,
it's like, it's the baby face. Like, get out his face, lady. He got a man. It's like, y'all tell people, like, wrestling fans ain't a bunch of yahoos. Like, they might not use soap, but they tend to be on the up and up with everything else. And it's just wild. Like, Anthony Bowens, like, the fact that happened, like, show how far we come. Like, yeah, yeah, it happened. It was organic. And it's like the baby face is being the baby face. And he getting cheered for being himself. And I knew crowds were progressive because I know you probably remember this. Other people might not remember. Remember when Jinder Mahal was champ?
Yes. Yes, I
remember
do.
You remember when he was beefing with Nakamura? Oh. And he cut that promo that one week, like, basically mocking Nakamura's, like, English, and a crowd basically chanting him, like, that's racist, to the point where the following week he had to come out and apologize. And I'm like, you know how racist you gotta be for the crowd to be like, you need to cut this racist shit out, you don't do that no more. And it was then when I realized, like, yes, this is not the Muhammad Hassan era of wrestling anymore, as far as the fans. Like, we have moved past that. Because there would have been a time when that would have flew. Like, Attitude Era, Ruthless Aggression Era, where that would have been, ha-ha.
Oh.
We don't rock that. And it's like, yeah, we don't rock that way no more. So.
No, it is definitely a good thing to see.
Yeah, like when MJF tried to do that with Takeshita, like, no, cut that shit out. Like, be a heel, don't be a bigot. It's the whole thing. Like, we gonna cheer you to be an asshole. You don't need to bring hate into it. And it's just funny that we have got to that point, and I'm glad that we embrace it. But it's just wild because we're both old enough to realize where it's like, it was not always like that at all.
No. Definitely coming from an era that was much, much different than that when I first started watching wrestling.
Yeah, and it wasn't even just, I'm not even talking about the 80s, because, like, you know, first time I saw Slicky out there eating a bucket of chicken, I was like, I was a little kid, even now I'm like, yeah, I don't know, but maybe I'm missing something. When Akeem was debuted, I'm like, I'm not Malcolm X, but I know something's on the up and up, like, this does not feel right. Like, you know, when you're a kid, you may not have nuance, but you kind of know when something feels off. I'm watching that, like,
yeah.
And I'm like, and it's just funny where we grew up on that, and it didn't really change that much for a long ass time. Because people talking about, oh, it's the 80s. I'm like, they did it in the 80s, they did it in the 90s, and it, like, Crime Time was in the 2000s. It's like, And so were the Mexicos. Like, they were doing it when they should have known. Like, back when people stopped doing it, they were still doing it. It wasn't until, I want to say, the 2010s.
That is probably about the dividing line.
And even then, it's kind of like, Becky Lynch, the only thing she was missing was a lucky charm on her head when she first was in NXT. So it's kind of like, even then, it's like, they try to slide it in there with her. And how they had Pete Dunne, like, oh, look, a boy, she's like an angry Irishman. Like, every now and then they try to slide it in, but they've kind of moved away from that. Like, the fact that Roman Reigns is walking around with a bone in his nose swinging a club shows that we have moved away from how they used to portray certain people.
Well, and even the fact that the Usos don't need to do a haka dance anymore. Coming out to the ring. Like, I know that they kind of had a part in that becoming a thing, but, you know, it's still kind of speaks to me to that need.
Yeah, because it's funny with the Usos, you bring it up, because when they first came out, they weren't doing that. They was like, we out here taking your scholarship money, going to your school, we ain't doing those dances, we civilized. Like, them and Tamina's whole gimmick was, we not how you think Samoans move. And then, within 2 years, they out here doing the haka dance with the face paint. And now they out here wrestling in Air Force Ones. So, yeah, it's like things change. It takes time, but we have reached a point. Like, we reached a point now where it's kind of like, you don't see, you might see goofy gimmicks, but you don't see, like, cringy, like, gimmicks anymore. For the most part. Like, you might see gimmicks you disagree with, but it's not, like, at most you might get is Tony D'Angelo doing his Goodfellas thing. But even then, it's kind of like, it's played for laughs, and it's like, he's still so damn funny. I'm laughing. But that's kind of the extent you'll have.
That's more of a movie played up version, though, of that type of a character than.
Yeah, like, that's the thing that has changed with Triple H. I doubt he'll have a gimmick that make me, like, roll my eyes like Vince has, because Triple H ain't necessarily, like, Triple H is more or less more normal than people forget how insane this man is. And how often people had to book based off of his insane sense of humor. It's like, Triple H ain't no saint. But for the most part, like, he gonna book stuff that makes sense.
Yeah, he's a normal human being for the most part, not a insane sociopath.
Yeah,
like Vince McMahon. I do think that helps quite a bit.
Like, I know we brush off him, like, he really had that Katie, like, who thought Katie Vick was a good idea? Like, we used to watch stuff like that. Like, it wasn't that long ago, before he became the tribal chief, Roman Reigns got tied up and they poured dog food on his head. And that's y'all top baby face. It's like, yeah, Roman, like, you know what? When I come back, we ain't doing that shit no more. I do not blame him. So it's like, that wasn't that long ago. That was right before COVID, matter of fact, more or less.
Oh, boy. Yep, there was a grim era, right? It is kind of weird that the COVID era did kind of bring about the necessary changes.
Yeah, like, it basically brought a company reset, because it's like, we can't pick and choose who we push, so we going to just make the best of what we got. And it's like, they had Asuka just cutting promos in Japanese, and it's like, okay, like, we just went with it, because it's like, the fact that they let that, I don't even know if it's like they let that happen, but like, they let that happen, it's like, yeah, go ahead, talk. And she's just out here, and it's like, it happened, and they just did it, and it just worked, and it's like, they gave people chances that they normally wouldn't give, and they rolled with it, and those chances kind of, like, evolved, where it's like, oh, we can be more free-thinking, we can, like, experiment, and it's like, you know, yep. Randy Orton became nice, and it just worked. Like, it became like, I'm the old man in the locker room. Like,
this is the everybody loves me era, where I can do whatever vile thing I want to, and the crowd is still gonna cheer.
Yeah, like we said before, I'm like, Randy Orton was one of the few people that got the Street Profits boo in Atlanta. He came out with Migos. Like, yeah, I know them from back. I knew them from 10 years ago. So I'm going to come out here because I'm Randy Orton. I'm cool. It's like, Randy Orton became the cool old man in the club. And it's like, it just worked. And this is a man that was just, people say 2009, when he looked like a skinhead, ran like, that man was used to be a maniac. And he was hung around long enough to be like, we saw Brock Lesnar out here like the world's happiest cowboy. Out here dressed like Wolverine, cracking jokes, smiling. And I was like, and I talked to you, and I thought, I'm like, what is going on? Like, why is Brock Lesnar happy?
Yeah, it's one of the few times that you could definitely call into question his motivations at certain times during his even his WWE reigns here, and right now is not one of them. He is definitely happy cowboy guy, and it's working for him.
Yeah, right up until Cody Rhodes took his spotlight. And then he wasn't happy no more. But he out here cracking jokes. Like, you can tell he's having a good time. It's just, they just do stuff like that, and it just worked. And now, you know, tied into, they ought to have a pay-per-view in London. And it's like, the fact that they have a Money in the Bank in London just feel like a big damn deal. But it's like, oh, they do stuff like that now. And it's like, they didn't do stuff like that. And now they do.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely had fans coming to them for the longest time. I mean, they always make the big deal about, you know, the internationalness of the crowd at WrestleMania. And it's just, it kind of makes sense. Like, I think it helps keep crowds hot, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, to kind of go back to what we were talking about almost at the top of the show, like, they go to so many places now, it does almost, you know, it feels more special because they're not visiting as much. Like, I think Columbus might have lost a stop, and it was like a house show, like, and now we're just getting two tapings or something like that. And it's just like, yeah, that's probably for the best. Like, don't come to the market too often.
It's not just the fact that they're going there, it's that they're having a pay-per-view there.
Oh, it's like, yeah,
they have a pay-per-view in London after they had a pay-per-view in Puerto Rico. Like, they are international.
And a pay-per-view in Saudi Arabia.
And that one was, I know how we feel about that, but that was an awesome damn show. Like,
It's been a different show for the last maybe 3 years, the last three events, I should say, since they did skip COVID era. Yeah. But it went from, hey, the Saudi government wants to see all these old people wrestle who aren't normally on TV, to this is just part of our product now. And
like,
we
treated Sami Zayn like he was God. I remember watching that. I was like, the fact that they worked out those and the international relation that he could go in the first place was just amazing. But like, Sami Zayn was like a laughing stock a couple years ago, and he was there, and it was like, no, this is what a damn superstar looks like. Like, they treated him like he's the most famous person that ever been in that damn arena, and it fit. And that's after watching the match, where it's like, the fact that Bad Bunny headlined a pay-per-view in Puerto Rico and just had Savio Vega come out and Carlito come out and the LWO, and it's like, do people not? That's like if Beyonce like wrestled Trish Stratus. Like, I was telling people, like, do y'all not realize how big this is? Like, Bad Bunny is one of the biggest musicians on the damn planet, and he out here taking table bumps. Like, he's out here, I'm a player, although he is wrestling, and they had a whole storyline, and they had a pay-per-view, and they had been in Puerto Rico since New Year's Revolution. I remember the last time I was there, I think that's when Lita blew her ACL out. Yeah, that's how long ago it was. It was like, that crowd was hot, and it just made WWE feel like it made WWE feel like a big damn deal. Like, y'all can call who bad, but I'm like, the fact that Logan Paul, who can basically do whatever he wants to do, it's like, you know what? I'm a wrestle. Yes, that's a big deal. They don't need to do this. They want to do this. If Cardi B, Megan Styles, I want to be at SummerSlam, stop complaining, nerds. Like, let them be at SummerSlam. Like, wrestling is better when cool people like wrestling. That's why the Attitude Era and the NWO Era worked, because cool people were liking wrestling too. And you nerds scared them all off. It's like, soon somebody talk about something. Oh, look at this magic. Oh, you know, Masao invented this. Like, shut up. If somebody don't watch Rustin brag about a Tiger driver, do not be there correct them. You still have to say, stop scaring the hoes, as they say. Have fun. It's supposed to be inclusive. All this gatekeeping is like, cut that out. Because I remember when Bad Bunny first started, I'll come there. I don't know who Bad Bunny. Like, Puddle of Mud is not going to be at WrestleMania.
No.
Give it up. Like, I didn't know this is Bad Bunny music, but I know who Bad Bunny is. And I'm glad we don't do that nonsense anymore. And I'm glad we have moved past that. I'm still amazed at the fact that, like, somebody like Logan Paul, who is basically an X-Men, is just such a good natural wrestler. And it's not just a Paul thing, because his brother ain't it. He did not have that charisma that Logan has. Like, Jake just come off as like a dunce.
Oh. I haven't really watched any of his actual fights. And, yeah, so I guess I'm not sure how he comes off.
He comes off like Logan Paul. If Logan Paul had no charisma, was just an asshole. Like, Logan Paul is an asshole, but it's semi-likable. Because he's like, I want to bring championships to Cleveland. We all lost, even me. Like, this city smelled like steel. That's why I had to leave. Like, he being a prick, but it's funny. Because he is confident enough to laugh at himself.
That's
why it works. That's why it works. He's like, hey, yeah, we all lost, even me. I don't want to be a loser like the rest of you Cleveland bums. I make Cleveland great. Like, the Miz lost, the Cavs lost, I lost. Like that. Like, it's just, and if you would have told me a couple years ago that we would have saw this, like, or see how wrestling is now, I wouldn't have believed you. I would not believe. Like, if you told me that basically Cody Rhodes is doing the American gimmick better than anybody since Hulk Hogan, Rey Mysterio's son is the most hated heel in WWE, and I saw pay-per-views highlighted by Bad Bunny, I'm like, okay, and Triple H is in charge. I'm like, all right, so how much crack do I have to smoke for this to happen? Because, like, you're talking nonsense.
Yeah, and to have a good product most of the time. That's the other thing to just to throw in there. Hey, why not?
Yeah, you have good matches. You're like, oh, you know, Trish Stratus is going to be back. It's going to be no big deal. Like, I guess. And then on the other side, oh, yeah, you get to see Okada wrestle Bryan Danielson. Like,
yeah, yeah. Yeah,
wrestling, you can say what you want about wrestling. Wrestling is in a far better spot than it was like 5 years ago. Far better for everybody involved. Like, it's not perfect, but it's moving in the right place because, you know, wrestlers are thriving and wrestling is fun. Like, you can talk about watching wrestling and it's like, okay, like, y'all can make jokes all y'all want. I can go to ESPN right now and they talk about wrestling.
ESPN. Yeah, it's out there.
Go on Fox Sports. They're talking about, like, I can go on any major sports thing or entertainment, and you can crack jokes all you want about Verizon. Like, they talk about wrestling. They ain't laughing at it. They just talking about it. Like, it's entertainment. It's part of the thing. I just still laughed at the whole thing. Like, a CM Punk story was one of the main stories on ESPN, but that's the world we live in. The fact that that happens is still like, yeah, they just had an interview with CM Punk talking about how he left and how he coming back, and it was like, he just accepted it.
Yeah, it's so easy to accept. I didn't pay attention to it when it happened.
It's like,
just like, okay, great.
It just happened. I remember the time when it had to be like Floyd Mayweather showed up or Chris Benoit died. But like, them to talk about like wrestling on ESPN. Like, you know, that nonsense is like, no, it's accepted. And it's, these companies, like, the fact that Warner Brothers is basically cutting everything else off is like, oh, you want another show, AEW? All right.
Yeah, let's greenlight that. Yeah, alrighty,
like, the
then.
The fact that Disney talk about what it gets, you know, WWE rights, which would be hilarious. This is Roman Reigns, and you're watching Disney Plus. Like, I don't know how that would work, and they talked about, like, I don't know if it'd be Hulu or how it would go, but the fact that people are, like, because whatever you want to say about wrestling, you can record with that, people still watch. And it's one of the few things where it's like you get consistent ratings and you get, you know, people watch wrestling. And ratings have been doing good for, like, WWE and to a lesser extent AEW. It's like the money's there, the competition's there. It's not the stigma that was. Like, for the most part, like, you don't feel bad telling people you watch wrestling. You might get the jokes like you still don't know. I'm like, yeah, everybody watch wrestling at this point. It's not just little kids. It's not old people. Everybody watching. I'm like, your favorite person. Like, I was watching AEW, and it's like, for the 3 months, every rapper that I grew up with in the 2000s would just pop up on AEW. And I'm like, yo, why is Jermaine Dupri on AEW? I have no idea, but he's there. Watch the match. Why is Rick Ross being Keith Lee's manager and being hilarious? I don't know. But it's just Tony Khan likes rap. It's like, why is Trina out there? Who knows? Why is Bow Wow stalking Jay Cargill for like a good 6 weeks? Because they are. But it adds to that. Like, it's when cool people get involved with wrestling, we all do better for it. That's how we should end the show. Let people enjoy things because it makes us all feel better. Don't be a nerd.
Well, something that I enjoyed during the show, Shahid, Columbus Brewing Company, Double Devil's Kush, double IPA, 8.75% alcohol. I, finished the whole thing. It is, yet again, another delicious beer from a, delicious beverage company, here in Columbus. I believe if you're at least in the state of Ohio, you can get their beer. So, high suggest on that one. So that is, the suggestion from @DeFrango11. He is at Philly Drugs. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Stitcher. Shahid, send us on home, sir.
For Kevin DeFrango, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi, and do not be a nerd when it comes to professional wrestling. We are.